Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get Breaking Saints news podcast, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind the scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's Wednesday, so that means we are live on the Spotify Green Room. If you're not listening to us live, download the Spotify app, do it in Google Play, do it in the Apple App Store. Join us live every Wednesday. We are having fun. We're talking Saints. You can ask us questions. You can join us. It's great fun. So we're talking tonight. The Saints, Andrew, this time next week, we'll have had a day of practice to talk about. The Saints
will
be.
Is that a factual statement?
That is a factual statement, right? They start on today's the.
What do they report on the 27th? And I think the 31st is like. I think next week they will have reported. So like they would maybe find out if someone didn't show up and wanted a new contract or, you know, if they failed a physical or something like that.
That's not going to happen because if you don't show up, it's $50,000 a day. Although I guess if it was like Michael Thomas and it was close.
I mean, someone could be put in COVID protocol. He'll probably
They'll
have to test them all. So, you know, there might be a handful of guys with COVID.
Yeah. I was arguing with people again today because they had a pretty legitimate NFL source was like a scout was telling him that coaches were like threatening players and being like, if you don't get vaccinated, they're going to cut you. And I was like, how did you think this was going to go? Like, you know, availability equals wins equals money. And if you think head coaches are going to let players at the bottom of their roster screw up their 2021 season, you're delusional. And that's just how it's going to go.
That's interesting because, like, when you're thinking about practice squad guys or, you know, it's kind of like you said, the end of the roster, and you're like, I could do this backup linebacker or this other one, and it really could go either way. Like, is the one that's vaccinated the one that gets the job?
100%.
I would think yes, because
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And putting your team at less risk.
You just don't say it out loud.
Yeah, you can't say it out loud.
You can't say it out loud because it's the players' union. But like you can do it. You know, you can Sean.
But how would you know? That's the thing. How would you know?
They'd never tell you. But
I don't think you can ask until you sign them. That's the thing.
I think you can, no, because it, you can ask, they just don't have to tell you. Like, that's the thing. And HIPAA, like, I can ask you any medical question I want. A HIPAA violation is when your doctor
you leak the information.
Leak the information. Now, I can ask you, and you could be like, well, I don't have to tell you, the players union says I don't. Well, that's true. But then I could just be like, okay, you're not going to tell me. I'm going to assume you're not vaccinated. We're not taking you. But it is interesting. I just think teams.
Yeah,
are
I mean, without naming names, like, it's interesting. Like, I have a. I'll tell the story quickly because it's kind of it's related. But I have a band on my roster. You know, I book bands for weddings, and I have a band that categorically, you know, they're a band and they can hire horns. They don't have horns like hardwired in the band. So that stuff, that music is all charted. And if they want, if a client wants to add a horn player, they can do one, two, or three. But, you know, they're outsourcing that. So they get people to join the band, and like, they have a rule categorically, you got to be vaccinated to play with them. And so they ask everyone before they hire them, like, are you vaccinated or not? You know, and if they don't answer, then like, okay, we're not hiring you. So, you know, but I'm just saying, like, that's in my business. But like, I think in all walks of business, like, you're starting to see, you know, but yeah, I think with the Saints, it's interesting because it's like, it's really just like exposure and like the playoffs and what's at stake. And especially as you get later in the season, where it's like, you know, a guy goes down. I mean, I'm just thinking back to like Saints seasons where, you know, you get into the playoffs and you know, Garrett Griffin all of a sudden is on the team and he's playing tight end and he's playing meaningful snaps because your tight end room has been devastated by injury. That happened to the Saints in 2018, right? And so I think fast forward to now, you look at these guys and you're like, okay, well, it could be Garrett Griffin or it could be this other tight end guy that's vaccinated. I'm picking on Garrett Griffin here, but let's just say he's unvaccinated. And then it's like, we could get this other tight end. This dude's vaccinated. When you look at that depth of the roster, like, I don't know that there's a, like, coaches are going to go with a guy they like a lot of times because there's not a big difference. It's like, you're starting to talk about players that can't really cut it.
That's right.
And so like, the coaches are generally going to go with the guy they like if they have to, if they have to stomach playing a guy like that. And so, you know, that's the thing. Like, does the vaccination start to tip the scales the other way?
Well, no. I mean, last thing on this, you talk about likability. I was listening to, I forget who it was. It was either Dan Orlovsky, maybe it was Andrew Brandt. And they were talking about Chase Daniels, the old Saints quarterback, and how he's made $40 million in the NFL.
There's no S in Daniel. Chase Daniel.
They said how he made $40 million, and whoever it was like, the reason Chase Daniel has made $40 million is because he caters to what the starting quarterback wants and what the coaches want. Meaning, if the starting quarterback is like, "Hey, stay with me and watch more film," Chase Daniel is like, "Cool, bring donuts." Okay, cool. I'll bring the donuts. Oh, you want to throw after practice? Okay, cool. Like, he did everything the starting quarterback wanted, everything coaches wanted, and everybody loved him, and he made $40 million, and he played, like, three games. So, like, that matters. Like, so, especially not at the top of the roster, not for starters, but, like, at the bottom of the roster, you bet your ass likability and doing what you're told matters, right? So, vaccination, but we'll see. So, as far as Saints news, Andrew, Kwon Alexander is one of the other players that he got cleared to do, I guess, full go. And his first visit, apparently teams want him, but his first visit was the Saints. And the Saints want to re-sign him. I think it's good because the more good bodies you have, if he comes back and he's healthy, you know he's good, right? And it gets me a chance to make all my Zach Bond as a bust jokes. Because to me, if they're bringing Kwon Alexander back, it means they don't trust Zach Bond at all. But your thoughts on Kwon Alexander coming back?
Well, it's a head scratcher a little bit because, you know, you've got a second round pick in Pete Werner and you were ready to pick Bond in the first round. You know, those were the rumors that, like, they liked Bond so much they were going to waste a first round pick on it if Ruiz was gone. He was next on their list. Mm-hmm. So, and they tried to trade into the second round to get him. So, like, Bond they had rated really high. And so, you know, all of a sudden, if you're picking Werner in the second round and you were going to pick Bond in the first round and neither of those guys are playing for you this year, like, I start to – like, that starts to – like, how great is Ireland? You know, how great is this whole draft thing they have going. You know, I think wonder.
They know they have a curse and they are not allowed to draft a competent linebacker. Like that's at the point where we are with the Saints. I mean, we're going on 27 years of them picking up their linebacker.
Anzalone was, I would say Anzalone was able. He wasn't, I wouldn't call him good, but he was room temperature, you know.
That was the most damning phrase I think you've ever delivered on a player. He was able. That's what people say about me when I carry things with both hands, Andrew. They say, oh, that's cool, Ralph. You're using the left hand more? I'm like, yeah, I've been working out. Like, that is a knife to the belly. He's able. My God, man.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, Anzalone, I would not put Anzalone in the Hazlitt linebacker group. You know? He's not on that level.
Well, that's true. I mean, the Hazlitt linebackers, C. Grant, James Allen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those guys were a disaster. I would not call Anzalone a disaster.
He wasn't a disaster. So, yeah. And guys, before we get to the main topic, if anybody has any thoughts about Kawan Alexander.
Oh, well, here's going to be my last thought on Alexander before you let people in. And I say this, I've said this many times on the show. I'm never going to be against signing a guy, like, especially if it's the minimum, if it's like a price that you can afford that is generally fits within the cap. Like, there's no guy I'm not going to want in training camp competing. So, like, from that standpoint, depth, competition, and then, look, 17-game season, something happens. Yep. Let's say he's not a starter, but something happens. You're going to be really glad you have a guy like Kwon.
What are the COVID rules? Do they have expanded practice squads this year?
They do.
COVID? So, I mean, you could sign him and put him on the practice squad if need be. You know, move him up, move him down. I mean, the thing is with Kwon Alexander is if he's healthy, he was really good. He had a lot of flaws with the Saints last year where he would, you know, I think he said it on tape, he would be aggressive, he would take wrong angles and this and that. But also, dude was super fast and he made shit happen. Fumbles, big plays, like he just had a knack for it. Yes, that guy, put him on my roster, please. Yeah. Like, but my question is, before we get to our main topic of what happened, of the different timelines of what if Drew had gone to Miami, good, bad, and different for the Saints, does anybody in the chat, does anybody have thoughts about linebacker? Do you feel like Kwon Alexander, the Saints signing him, does it make you feel better? Does it make you feel worse about the depth of, like I said, like it shows that they don't trust Bond, Werner's a rookie. Does it make you more skittish about linebacker where maybe it wasn't a thing you were necessarily worried about and now you're like, oh, they're bringing in Kwon Alexander. That means they think of it as like defensive tackling corner. Ugh, I'm more nervous about it. So if anybody has thoughts on that, you know, Andrew, and how did you feel about this off season? I felt like this off season has been one of the longer ones that we've had. Even last year, more when COVID, all the craziness of COVID, like this off season, it really felt like it was slow and it's taken forever for us to get to camp. That's just my feeling of it.
Yeah, I don't know. This off season was both like it had a lot of drama in the sense that, like, how are we going to get cap compliant? How are things going to work out at quarterback? Was Jameis going to be back? So there was a bunch of questions like that. Who are all the guys they were going to cut? Yeah. And yet, like, I feel like this offseason kind of sucked. Like, the draft wasn't that exciting. Free agency was a bust.
Well, the draft was exciting for like in about an hour during the day when we thought they were trying to move up to the top 10 to get J.C. Horn. But we got Matt, what's your thoughts on the Saints linebacker adding Bond?
I think linebackers overall just fine, to be honest. I mean, just looking at Kwon, it's probably just, okay, let's get someone who's a bit more familiar with our system. And maybe, like, even if we add Kwon, I think Werner would still probably outsnap him because Alexander would just be there in more passing situations with his, you know, sideline speed and his ability to, you know, cover running backs much better. I mean, I don't think it's more of a testament to how Bond is. I think it's just double. I would say it's just to have someone good to split with Werner, like to not have him be there like 90% of the time, you know, take him out every now and then. I mean, we still got DeMario Davis. I was never really worried about the linebacker. And even with the visit with Kwon yesterday, I'm still not really worried about it.
So you're saying we should sign Kwon or not?
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad, you know, if we can get him for, you know, the right
price. You don't sort of cast the side eye at him like I am, where you're like, oh, that to me tells me Vaughn is a bust and they aren't confident in Werner at all. So that's fair.
Here's the thing, though, Ralph. If they're going to sign Kwon Alexander, it's going to be to a 1-year deal, you know? And so from that standpoint, I don't think the book is necessarily closed on Zach Vaughn and certainly Pete Werner. I mean, the thing about Pete Werner is like his whole write-up, like his whole deal. And if you look at his tape and everything, the whole thing about Pete Werner is he's NFL ready. Like he's a guy you can plug and play this year. Like he's a guy that's developed and he's never going to be DeMario Davis. But he's Scott Shanley, like probably year one.
I think he's probably
at that level. And so, like, I would just ask, like, if you were going to bring back Kwon Alexander all along, then why, knowing all the other needs that were on this team, the holes at receiver, at corner, now at defensive tackle, why would you have drafted Werner if you were going to bring back Kwon Alexander? That to me is a little.
Because I think maybe the Saints are like, We love Pete Werner, or we really like him because we drafted him in the second round, but we aren't sure. And Kwon Alexander is just sort of insurance. The one thing I'll say about Pete Werner is I think he's going to be like Roman Harper. They're going to plug in. He's going to play. He's going to be what he is right from the jump, and that's what he's going to be for the next 5 to 7 years if he's healthy, like exactly like Roman Harper. But Joshua, What is your thoughts on the Saints trying to bring back Kwon Alexander?
First of all, Anzalone. Anzalone, we're going to really see how bad of a player he is in Detroit. I think Anzalone was just a byproduct of literally like, I'm happy to be here. I'll go tackle something if you need me to. I'll give it my best shot.
As long as my shoulders hold up.
Exactly. So Anzalone, I guarantee you, if you put him on the Saints 2015 defense, you would be wanting – he'd be just as bad as Stephon Anthony. he had his moments. He's made some plays and whatnot, but
– The hair Anzalone, was
nice. The hair, yeah, the hair was magnificent. Nice.
That's about it.
The hair was magnificent. Uh-huh. The not recovering the ball in the end zone against Kansas City was –
Oh, nice. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
And that's why I'm like,
not fall?
Sure.
I'm sure.
As far as Kwon goes, I see it as again, and I'm starting to think that the Saints are realizing we're really shitty at drafting linebackers. So the chances of us actually drafting a great linebacker that's going to fit to our scheme exactly are pretty low. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, a lot of these linebackers, you know, don't really kick off like the second and below don't really kick off until a year or two in the system. Unless you're like a first rounder. It's kind of the same defensive lineman.
I don't know how you, that's a good question because the thing is with defensive ends and edge rushers, basically if you're not a first round pick, you're not going to get more than like a sack and a half usually is exactly. What was it they averaged? So I don't know how you measure that with linebackers though, Andrew. That was a great easy to digest, easy to understand stat with edge rushers. I don't know how you measure it with like linebackers that aren't first round linebackers, you know?
That's kind of how I feel. And with Kaywan in general, it's something that's – it's worked. And all of our amazing linebackers that we've ever had have all been through free agency. That's why I feel more confident. Like, okay, get something that's a sure thing. Pete is still – like, he should be, but there's still a question mark of, like, okay, will he fit in the system? All signs say yes. He's physically checked box. You know, he's checking all the boxes. But it's just, like, he may get there and just – it may not work out. And that's my major concern.
You know what's funny? Of all the – so forgetting Hazlitt, because his draft record was atrocious as far as linebackers are concerned. But, like, even if you look at Anzalone and Stanley Arnoux and, like, some of the other – Courtney Watson, like, some of the – was Watson a Peyton pick or was
no,
that a Hazlitt pick?
Watson was a Hazlitt.
Okay, so Stephon Anthony would be one. If you think of all these guys that the Saints drafted at linebacker in the Sean Payton era, I actually think the best ones they developed are Jolon Dunbar and Jonathan Casillas. Like the best ones were UDFAs.
That's right.
Like, would you say that Jolon Dunbar was a better linebacker than Anzalone? I would say he was.
Yes, he was.
I would say.
And Casillas. I was mad when – I think Casillas went to the Rams, was it?
Yeah.
And he, like, he dominated for a little bit with the Rams, which I was completely mad when they let him go. But
and Casillas had a real career, you know, post-Saints. Yeah. He played – I think he started on the Giants.
Yeah.
He was
involved in ambush, wasn't he? Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of – like, he was a dude that blasted. I mean, he didn't recover it. Reese recovered it, but it was –
what was that guy, Hank Basket? I think he blew up Hank Basket.
Hank Basket. Wasn't he married to somebody that had a reality show on E?
He was married to, Hugh Hefner. Remember, he had, like, three girlfriends.
Yeah.
She was one of them, and then she left Hugh Hefner for Hank Basket. I forget her name. Someone listening must
know. Somebody listening. So Matt says, who has a stronger bad arm, Ralph or Anzalone? I think the question is Anzalone's bad arm, since he's a football player, is it stronger than my good arm? I would say it's questionable because my good arm can rock. Like, you know? like seriously, like I can – like I've thrown a fastball with my good arm 84 miles an hour. So like
– no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my good arm is I only have one, Andrew. Like, it's all I got. Like
84 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. But that was when I was younger. Now I wouldn't be able to fucking touch that.
Oh, wow.
But I've
definitely never thrown that kind of heat in my life.
Yeah, but like I mean,
that's it. I'm impressed.
But I mean, think of it, Andrew. If you only had one good side of your body, you'd rock it.
My guess is that the fastest fastball I've ever thrown was probably like 59 miles an hour.
Yeah. People were like, wow. I'm like, what did you think? I'm crippled. I got
Kendra. That's it.
Kendra.
Yeah. Kendra Wilkson.
Kendra Wilkson. Yeah.
Yeah. They had the whole TV show on E for a while. So that's three.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What was the name of that show? It was like Kendra and Hank, or
but I don't know. She was on the Playboy thing, and I don't remember the name of it. But
I gotta Google Kendra E. Show. Let's see, Kendra. It was just Kendra.
Yeah.
So it ran four seasons. So
I remember my life watching that. It was garbage.
So Joshua, thanks. Thanks for joining in.
Oh yeah, so, yo Ralph, I got to tell you this. Like, so speaking of watching things that are terrible, I binged Saw the Saw series.
What would what?
I don't
that
know,
about?
Man. Like, I just got HBO, and I was just like, oh, the Saw series are on here, and I'm like, you know, maybe this is so bad it's good. Like, no, it's not. And I just learned. So I grind through it, and I finished the six movies, and then I learned there were two more. There's actually eight. And I couldn't do it. I was like, no. Like,
the thing about
the Saw
movies that's amazing, somebody in the Discord channel said, and this is amazing, like Saw movies, they only cost like $5 to $10 million to make, and they churn out like $100 million consistently. So like literally, if the movie studio isn't making Saw movies, they're losing money.
Right. Yeah. But so anyway, I did this so that none of you have to.
Why?
You got to trust me on this. It's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I listen to an entire Nickelback album, you know, if I listen to them all back to back, like that's what watching Saw kind of felt like.
So we got a TV star, Dylan. He's joining us. Dylan, what you got to say about Saints linebacker or just anything going into camp since we're so close?
I'm just looking around the NFC, and the NFC to me is a tire fire. I mean,
it
Aaron Rodgers
completely
coming back to Green Bay. I mean, is he
really not going to play week one?
This is another. If you're not a patron and you're listening to this show for free because we made this the free one this week, this is another reason to become a patron and get into Discord. A patron had a fantastic Aaron Rodgers theory, and I love it. I'm going to run it by you guys. His theory was Aaron Rodgers, he wants out of Green Bay, but just as important as getting out of Green Bay, he wants to make that general manager for the Packers look fucking terrible. And the way he does it is he doesn't play the first game or two, and he makes everybody see how trash the quarterback is. Then Aaron Rodgers comes back, Green Bay starts winning, and Gutekunst Camp or whatever his name is looks horrible for drafting Justin. What's his name? Justin Love?
Jordan Love, yeah.
Jordan Love. So I love that theory, and it works out good for the Saints because it would mean Aaron Rodgers would miss the opening game.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. And I just look around the NFC. I mean, I think the thing that people just keep on forgetting is just how good this offense will look with a deep ball added back to it. I just think that's going to offset a lot of the things that we've lost this offseason. Mm-hmm. And the Saints are going to continue being aggressive. They're going to pick up some people. And I just think if Jameis can be competent, we'll be at least a wild card team. And I'm excited to see what we can do.
I mean, it's that's a good point, Dylan. Is at wide receiver, do you feel like anybody that it'll be somebody else besides Traquan that'll be the number two guy?
Oh, I mean, I think you're going to see a mixture of Callaway. Callaway is going to look better because he's just going to get better. And then also, we're going to be able to utilize Deontay Harris like Tyreek Hill. And we have that deep ball now. Jameis is going to be able to connect with this guy deep. And meanwhile, because of that, teams are not going to be able to play cover two shell and press on everybody. Alvin Kamara is going to be running wild. And also, people forget to, like, we're going to get a healthy Michael Thomas back. You add all of those.
I'm worried about. I'm a little worried about him.
You know what? I'll believe it. I'll worry if he's not doing well week one. But you know what? Assuming he's healthy, this offense is going to be a lot more dynamic than it was last year. And that's not taking anything away from Drew Brees. You know, it's just when people forget how good this offense can be with a deep ball. We haven't seen that in 5 years.
That's right.
It's been 5 years since we've seen a real deep ball. I'm excited to see this offense being a lot more explosive. And the thing is Tom Brady's in his mid-40s. Look, eventually his body will break down. And I think he's just one hamstring. They're one Tom Brady injury away from being a disaster. I just think Tampa Bay is super overrated, too. They got really lucky. I mean, people forget. They're a bad call against the Giants away from being 6-6 the last year. They literally got screwed in that Giants game. Giants got screwed.
Well, Dylan, I just gave you a gem. I have no idea what that is, but I just gave it to you. So I don't know. I actually see in the chat, you know, there's some back and forth. Danny and Matt, who I can only assume are related. Danny says, I think Rodgers is going to start against the Saints opening day. Matt says I'm betting he won't be there. I side with Danny here. Like, I just can't imagine Rodgers not playing. And I can't imagine him playing for anyone other than Tom. I mean, I hope he doesn't.
They offered him they offered to make him the highest paid quarterback and give an extension. Now, they didn't give out specifics of the extension, but obviously the Green Bay tried to throw money at him to cure the problem, and Aaron Rodgers is like, no. So
he can take that at any time.
I'm going to profit off of this three ways, because I've already bet the Minnesota Vikings to win the NFC North. I also bet the Denver Broncos to win I bet the over on their win total, and I also bet them to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I tell you what, Denver might have now that the Saints had to, you know, do Loomis math to keep most of the roster intact, I think you can make a case that Denver, from top to bottom, has the strongest roster. They just don't have a fucking quarterback.
He ain't playing for Green Bay. I'm convinced.
So, yeah. Well, thanks for joining in, Dexter.
Man, I really hope that happens. Not dealing with Rodgers week one, and just not dealing with
my pleasure, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen. I've said it many times. Winning the opening game at home, it's just one of my favorite feelings in sports, because you walk out of the dome, you're like, we're 1-0, we're in first place.
Everything is possible.
Yeah, it's just great.
Ralph Marlboro here from Saints Happy Hour. You need to join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room app. We are talking Saints or anything New Orleans sports related. On Spotify Green Room, you can interact with us by asking questions or just laugh at me mispronouncing names. Download the Spotify Green Room on your iPhone or Android device, then follow Saints Happy Hour so you can join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. to talk Saints or anything else NOLA sports related. So do it. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you there. Saints football is almost here. Thank God. Saints Happy Hour needs your support. We need money to buy the finest meats and cheeses to pay Thomas in Poland. We need money to buy show intros like Sean Payton and to have mediocre audio. Supporting Saints Happy Hour gives you the best Saints podcast every day without any stupid ads or promos like this one. And access to our private Discord channel to talk Saints 24/7, and the world-famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Annual patrons get a month for free. So go sign up at saintshappyhour.com and support the show. Do it. Go right now. Go to saintshappyhour.com.
So the main topic of the show now we're going to get to, and this is because Nick Saban, again, he was at SEC Media Days this week. And he was, again, he was like, I knew when we didn't get Breeze and the doctor wouldn't let me sign, I knew that I was leaving Miami. And you know me, I understand that the doctors have the final say and Nick couldn't do what he wanted. But I feel like Nick Saban always brings up that he couldn't sign Drew Breeze to have people not pay attention to how bad of a drafter he was, how bad he was at free agency with Miami. Like, he was look at his drafts. The two drafts with Miami, all his free agent acquisitions, they were all disasters. And that's what annoys me a little bit. But I think it's
– He also went with Dante Culpepper. Like that, yeah. When they passed on Breeze, he was like, all right, well, if we can't get Breeze, I'll wash Dante Culpepper. Give me that.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he could have decided to go another route at quarterback. He could have drafted a guy. But yeah, he went with Culpepper. So
he could have gone with the Saints' backup plan of Josh McCown. Would have been better than Culpepper.
No, definitely with
no good knees. But I think it's interesting to talk about the scenarios, because we were talking about that in a text chain today with Kevin and Dave. The scenarios, and I think the scenarios with if Drew Brees goes to Miami, one, I don't think. I'm 100% certain that Drew wouldn't have been as successful as he was with the Saints. I don't know that Drew Brees wins a Super Bowl in Miami, because what I saw from Saban for 2 years, I don't think Saban is good at identifying talent in the NFL. He's good at accumulating talent in Alabama, recruiting, but recruiting is not drafting. And I think Drew Brees wouldn't be a Hall of Famer if he was with Nick Saban. And I know that's a hot take, but that's the Miami path.
Do you disagree with that as we go?
It's hard to say. I think Sean Payton needed Breeze more than Breeze needed Payton. I will say that. They needed each other. I think there was some magic there between Loomis, Payton, Breeze. That combination of people, the stars kind of aligned, to make something great there. And I wonder, and certainly, I mean, you look at guys like Marcus Colston, I mean, Lance Moore, those guys would just, they wouldn't have been what they were without Breeze.
Yeah, and I just think Sean Payton, I saw a tweet, somebody said something about if Reggie Bush would have played today, he'd have been way better because Sean Payton didn't know how to use him.
Mean,
and get out of here.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like Sean Payton was ahead of the curve with throwing a Reggie Bush and all the 5,000-yard seasons Drew had, I 100% believe he would never have had them with Nick Saban. Like, Sean Payton was ahead of the curve throwing the ball, and he's still kind of ahead of the curve.
Wasn't Carl Smith the offensive coordinator of USC when Bush was there? Or was it Norm Chow?
It was Norm Chow. Carl Smith was the quarterback coach, I think.
Okay, well, you want to tell me those guys know how to utilize Reggie Bush more than Sean Payton does? Come on. Anyway, I think that's not even worth talking about on this podcast.
Yeah, I do think that if he goes to Miami, though, Drew Brees, I think there's a lot of different scenarios.
I bet they go to the playoffs.
I think they go to the playoffs. I think the interesting thing is with the Saints, because the Saints would have had a lot of different paths, right? I think you would have had the nightmare path of they sign Josh McCown and they draft Matt Leiner and you got that turd platter working. Now, maybe Sean Payton is brilliant. Maybe he gets something out of Josh McCown and he gets the Saints to they'd have been better than 3-13, I think, because their draft in 2006. Maybe they still get Reggie Bush because the Texans would have taken Mario Williams. That the Drew Brees decision didn't affect that. So maybe that would have been different. But there's a scenario where the Saints are stuck in mediocrity and maybe this dome doesn't stay filled because they're not winning, right? Because they won right out the gate. So there's a scenario where maybe they don't win and Tom Benson starts playing footsie more with San Antonio. So there's a dark timeline without Drew Brees as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. It would have been interesting, man. I think about that all the time. I think about what if Saban had kept his job because Brees had gone there and not gone to Alabama. You know, what would all this time have looked like?
Well, I think Saban was going to try the NFL, but you might have got 2, 3, 4 more years out of LSU.
Yeah, but at that point, At that point, Alabama would have hired someone else. And
that's right.
Saban would have gone, Maybe he would have gone back to Michigan State. Maybe the LSU job would have opened up a couple years later.
I mean, Alabama was going to hire Rich Rodriguez.
What could have been?
I mean, God. But the most interesting scenario to me if Drew would have gone to Miami was – the Saints, Sean Payton wanted Romo.
Yeah.
And Dallas, remember, at this point, Bill Parcells kind of says, now I told Sean Payton to sit down and have a glass of warm milk. That wasn't going to happen. But at the time, Tony Romo had not thrown an NFL pass. And Dallas was like, okay, you want Romo? Give us the 34 pick, which is a very high pick. It's basically a first-round pick, right? And Tony Romo hadn't thrown a pass.
Was it Roman Harper they took with that pick?
Yeah, it was Roman Harper. Yeah. So it was a good. Yeah. The 34 pick is a very high pick. Can you imagine? It would have worked out because Tony Romo with the Saints, he had health issues, but maybe with the Saints, they'd had a better offensive line. Sean Payton was a better offensive coordinator than he ever had in Dallas. Maybe he'd have stayed healthy longer. Maybe he'd have been great. We'll get to that in a second. But Andrew, can you fucking imagine in March of 2006, Drew Brees is holding up the Dolphin jersey. And then 2 days later, it comes across the wire. The Saints have traded a second round pick for a UDFA from Northern Illinois, Tony Romo. He's never thrown a pass. And Sean Payton really likes him because they went to the same college. Can you imagine the freak out we would have had?
Now, I know it's before Twitter, but oh my God, we'd have lost our minds. We'd have been
we would have lost our minds.
We would
We would have been here's another terrible hire. Dude doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
picking guys he likes. Yeah, this is Shula all over again. Yeah.
Like,
but you know what? Romo would have been awesome.
He would have been.
I mean, he wouldn't have been Drew, obviously, but he would have been awesome in this offense. Yeah. I don't think the Saints would have won a Super Bowl, but they would have made the playoffs with Romo.
They would have made the playoffs a bunch, and they'd have secured the future.
It would have been, the Saints as constructed, just with Romo instead of Breeze, would have been a lot of fun. I don't think they would have ever won a Super Bowl, but Romo would have made a lot of Pro Bowls. And like, here's the thing: up to that point, we hadn't had much fun. We didn't really know what winning a lot would have been like. So Romo. The thing though is like those seasons where the defense was worse in NFL history, you know, Breeze propped them up and made them 7-9. I don't know that Sean Payton would have survived those years with Romo, because I think they would have gone 4-12, and he would have gotten fired, and a new coach may not have wanted him, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If Tony Romo, the only way they would have survived it if he'd have been healthy. But I think it's an interesting question, and Matt's joining back in. Matt, if they had Tony Romo instead of Breeze, would they have won a Super Bowl?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I mean, Tony Romo was good, man. Tony Romo, he's sort of underrated, even though he's a Cowboy quarterback. Like, his stats were freaking really
good. Oh, yeah, I think Tony Romo was a good quarterback for the Cowboys. I mean, he made some amazing plays. I just don't know if he would have the same, you know, kind of brittle period that he had with the Cowboys later in his lifetime. That's my one concern. But I did want to add this. So there was actually a video called NFL led by Dave Damachek, if y'all know about him, and he did a topic based on, you know, what happened if Miami did go with Drew Brees. And the timeline he had for the Saints was that for the number two, instead of getting Reggie Bush, they would go after Vince Young, which I thought would be kind of interesting, because how would Sean Payton do with Vince Young at quarterback?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because, like, Vince Young, I think, was a better quarterback NFL-wise than Matt Leinart, because when you look at Leinart, went to Arizona, which had a bad line. Bad land spot, because you had, you know, a prime Larry Fitzgerald, a prime Anquan Boldin. You know,
well, the thing about Matt Leinart was he hurt his shoulder, and he was damaged goods. He never was as good as he was in college, because his shoulder wasn't the same.
Yeah. So I'm always kind of curious, you know, how would Vince Young do, like, with, like, a good coach? Because, you know, he had Jeff Fisher for the longest time.
Oh, that's right. 7-9, Jeff Fisher. Yeah, he got to the playoffs one year. Vince Young did.
Oh, yeah.
He was rookie of the year, right? He was rookie of the year in 2006.
He was.
He won rookie of the year, and I think it was more because of his performance. And I do remember the times going to the playoffs, though. I don't think it was – okay, I think in 2008 when he got benched for Kerry Collins. But I remember 2009, his heroics, where he kind of won back his job. But I still think, like, if he would have been with Sean Payton, the sanction, with an actual good receiving core and all that, it would have been a different timeline for him, because he had guys like Bobby Wade and Justin Gage.
The one fun possibility with Tony Romo, though, is – if the Saints get Tony Romo from the Cowboys, they haven't won squat since Jimmy Johnson. But can you imagine the fun that we could have had with Cowboy fans if the Saints win a Super Bowl with Romo, the quarterback you traded away, and you're still a dumpster fire? Like, it wouldn't have been as fun as Breeze, but oh my God, it would have been amazing. Would winning a Super Bowl with Romo, Andrew, would it be as fun as winning in 2009 with Breeze, but would it have been funner than any other sports rooting experience you ever had? Like, would it have been more fun than all the LSU titles or whatever sports experiences you've had?
I'm not sure I really understand that question. I mean, the Saints winning the Super Bowl, is the apex of my rooting.
So you would just switch it. You would just switch out with Romo.
Yeah, like if I never knew any better, like if Breeze had just gone to the Dolphins and I never took any interest in the person other than just knowing that he went to Purdue and then he was with the Chargers, like, I mean, I'm sure I would have liked him from afar in the sense of like, seems like a good dude, you know, good teammate, all that stuff, like says all the right things. So like, I'm sure I would have like been fine with Drew Brees as a person, but like, I wouldn't have cared about him. You know what I'm saying? Like if Romo was our guy and we won a Super Bowl with Romo,
we'd be like, thank God Brees chose Miami.
Yeah. I'd be all in on Tony Romo. So, and you know, not everyone feels this way, but I kind of like Romo. I know that you know, he's got the Cowboys stink on him and a lot of Saints fans hate him and like to say that he chokes and all that. But like, I kind of always admired Romo from afar. And, post NFL, I think his commercials are kind of funny. I like him as an announcer. I'm going to come out and say, like, I kind of like Tony Romo.
I mean, his 31, 32, 33, and 34-year-old seasons, he threw 31, 28, 31, and 34 touchdowns. And
yeah,
the Cowboys.
He's a good quarterback.
He was real. I mean.
And that was in Jason Garrett's offense. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. With Sean Payton, he would have been way better.
Yeah. Like, and the thing with Tony Romo was, like, He could motor and like scoot around and like create crazy plays, and it would have been fun. It's a really interesting thing. It's a really interesting thing to think about. And I enjoy banging on Nick Saban.
Ralph, you're giving Matt a run for his money with the background noise.
I know, right?
Right now.
Joshua says, I loved Romo, and I know people get annoyed with his play-by-play, but I think his play-by-play is really good, and I'm really interested.
I think it's good. I enjoy it.
I'm really interested to see how Drew does with Notre Dame. How good is he? So now we got Andrew's dad, who's a regular on the Spotify. Mr. Juge, what is your thoughts on like the alternate timeline with maybe the Saints have Romo or another scenario?
Matt Leinart.
Yeah. Yeah, what I remember, Ralph, is I remember thinking, well, I was a huge Leinart fan, so I was thinking if we don't get Breeze, we're going to get Leinart instead of Reggie Bush. But what my take is that if you look at what Saban was doing at LSU before he left, I don't remember any theory that Nick Saban was an offensive genius or that he was a play caller. So I mean,
that's right.
Now, of course. LSU had balanced attacks, but they had quarterbacks like Matt Flynn and who was the other guy that won the championship in
03? Matt Mock.
Yeah. I mean, then they couldn't win one but Jamarcus Russell, but then again, we know what he did later. No, but the thing is that, to me, LSU was still then, a wham-bam, huge running back-oriented offense. I mean, I remember Allie Broussard, getting, 230 yards against Ole Miss one year. And then didn't want to come back. But no, so to me, I personally can't imagine that Drew Brees would have had the kind of offensive success like he had with the Saints, with the Dolphins, if you add to Brees the innovation from Sean Payton. So I don't see Drew Brees' career. I'm sure it would have been great, and I'm sure he would have been, made the playoffs, a Super Bowl, who knows. But I just can't imagine that Brees would have had – several, successive 5,000 yards.
Yeah, no,
Nick Saban was going to be running the ball far too much.
I think that's a great point because I remember, Andrew, I remember that Cleveland game, the first one, and looking at it and being like, oh, my God. Because, I mean, granted, he was facing Romeo Crennel on the other side. But I remember thinking, oh, my God, Sean Payton is coaching the pants off this guy. They're throwing the ball all over the place. This is really fun and interesting. Like, you knew from the jump that Sean Payton was not that he was going to be as successful as he was, but you knew he was different. And the Saints offense, it looked very, very different than what I was used to. So like, I think your dad's point of like, it wouldn't, the yards and the touchdowns, I don't think that there's no way that's there with Saban.
Yeah,
that's my take.
It's possible that they would have turned Breeze into a game manager kind of deal in Miami.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I wanted to say about this season coming up, Ralph, is that I think I'm getting ready to give up on defense. I think we're going back to the. I'm thinking we give up 30 points a game. We got to score 33 or 35 to win, and we can do it. And I think Kamara is going to have a great year. I think the offense, you know, I agree with what other folks were saying about the deep threats. And so I think we're looking at having to score 32, 35 points a game to win.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I think we're just going to have to, you know, have a good enough record to make the playoffs and hope. So that's my take on defense.
Well, Jameis, one of one, Andrew, has already laid the groundwork to turn against the Saints if Jameis doesn't succeed.
No, so, yeah, he's blaming the defense, right?
He's saying they lost.
He's already saying, like, yeah, Breeze had it better.
Breeze had it better. Don't blame Jameis if it doesn't go well. You know, the Saints, they're fragile, but I'm still like, it's July, so I've talked myself into Billy Joe Hulbert at quarterback, so I sure as hell can talk myself into Jameis. Like
I talked myself into the Kerry Collins experiment.
Yeah, like my bounds of delusion in July have no limit. But I still think Dylan's point about the NFC, like, you look around the NFC, if Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback of Green Bay and he goes to the AFC, I think the NFC is where you want to be. Because you look at the AFC, you got Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, and Kansas City looks like they're going to be great for a long time.
Dude, right? I just had a thought. Crazy thought. What if Denver trades for Rodgers and, you know, the Packers are like, well, we're going to roll Jordan Love, but, like, he's not ready to go yet. And it's Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, my God.
And he starts week one for the Packers.
That would scare me to fucking death.
I mean, that's
death.
Probably not happening, but I'm just
it's probably not happening.
Yeah.
It's
like there's like a 2% chance, right?
That would scare me to death. The ex-Saints quarterback coming back for the revenge game. Oh, yeah. Would you rather Jordan?
Just mark this down. Like, put this down that I just brought this up.
Thomas, check the time.
If it plays out like that, that would be insane. But yeah, I mean, it's probably gonna be Jordan Love. But I still think Rodgers comes back, man. I don't know, but yeah. So all of a sudden, the NFC. I totally agree. Just looks very different, the landscape without Rodgers.
And the Rams just lost Cam Akers at running back.
Now the Rams are still going to be good. They'll still be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that hurt. Let them lose Wentworth. You know, I think the Rams are kind of like the Saints. Like, they're
fragile. Yeah,
fragile. Yeah, like, I think the Rams are fragile. And look, I just think the NFC, the next 3 to 5 years is where you want to be. Because even
Joshua says Arizona and the Rams are the only teams that scare him. I mean, I don't think Arizona is very well coached. I'm not Kingsbury believer.
Personally. Joshua, I want you to know it's not 2015. It's 2021. Arizona should not scare you. Like J.J. Watt and who else did they sign that's old? They signed A.J. Green. Like,
yeah.
Joshua says, you think the Rams come sniffing around Latavius Murray? I mean, I just don't – like the Saints, like if they were going to move on from Latavius Murray, like, they'd have done that trade before the draft. Like,
they would have cut him for
cap space. Like, the Saints, like, they've done all of their, like, cut. I mean,
bloodletting
and that sort of thing. I see them trading draft picks maybe, but I don't see them trading. If the Saints were going to trade a player for a defensive tackle or a corner, who do you think it would be, Andrew? If they were going to do, would there be anybody on the roster that you would be like, that could be a guy they would move?
Hmm.
You know,
that's an interesting question. Marcus Davenport.
Yeah, ooh, I could see Marcus Davenport being moved, but the thing is, for Marcus Davenport, it would have to be a team. The thing is, for that, it would have to be a team that gets a little bit desperate about defensive end, and they have to have a, I would say it would have to be a corner. Like, I don't know that the Saints would trade Davenport for a defensive tackle. You know, like, I think it would have to be a plug and play corner, and the Saints would be like, well, that's what we did. We feel like it's a good deal. Cause I think the Saints are going to try. I think there's a chance that they might try to skate by for 6 weeks at defensive tackle. I don't know if it's smart, but I think they might try.
So Ralph, yeah. as we approach training camp, and as you said, next week, this time next week when we do the show, guys of the vets will have reported to training camp. What's the one thing as we go into camp that, and you can't say like sign this guy, like I'm not talking about acquiring players. I'm just talking about what's on the roster right now that you would most want like a week or two into camp. Like if we were getting this news, like this guy looks amazing or this is happening. Like, what's the one thing you would want?
I mean, the easy answer is just like Jameis is just killing it. But the answer that I want, I think, is going to surprise you. I want one of those front seven guys that they've drafted, either Werner or Davenport or Peyton Turner. They need a guy in the front seven to be lighting it. I want to hear Nick Underhill saying this dude is lighting it up in the front seven, because I think if you add a dominant guy into the front seven mix and you get Cam Jordan back to 2019 Cam Jordan, but if you add Peyton Turner is lights out to start, or Davenport is lights out, or Werner is better than what we think he can be, and he's not just a replacement linebacker, then I think the Saints defense can be really good, and you can mitigate Onyemata, and you can maybe mitigate having a bad second corner if Adebo is
no,
any good.
That's a good, strong answer. And Joshua he wants Paulson and Adebo to be amazing, because, yeah, I mean, look, if Adebo comes in and right from the get-go, and you know, we're hearing in camp, like Adebo is matched up with Mike Thomas and he's shutting him down and he's looking awesome, then you've got a tandem at corner all of a sudden with Lattimore and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Nickel. By the way, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson playing on the outside at corner, could that be a possibility? I'd just throw that out there. But anyway.
He was Hall of Fame on Twitter this week, banging up. He banged on New Orleans East, and then New Orleans Twitter got mad at him for making fun of New Orleans East when they make fun of New Orleans East every fucking day.
But the reason I asked the question, and you know, I was thinking about obviously the quarterbacks are the obvious answer, but the one guy we don't talk about enough, and who, you know, I would say 2 weeks into camp, if we were starting to say, "Holy shit, Adam Trautman is Jimmy Graham."
Oh my God.
Holy shit. Like Adam Trautman, maybe not Jimmy Graham, but like, you know, Adam Trautman is ridiculous. Like, he's better than prime Ben Watson.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because then I feel like if Jameis has a security blanket over the middle where he's got a target that's catching everything, doing a lot of damage over the middle, just what that opens up for Michael Thomas. And like, the scenarios where Traquan Smith, the people forget he exists, I think that
ramps goes up. On,
it ramps
steroids.
Up. Exactly.
I mean, what do you – that's a good question. Then I just think
when we look at all these receivers, Traquan, Deontay, and Callaway, like, we like them all. We hope they work out. But to me, what makes this offense go from, like, strong to ridiculous is all of a sudden – you got Kamara, you got Michael Thomas, but like if all of a sudden the Saints have a Travis Kelce, you know, just like an elite tight end offense.
What is it?
Then I just think Deontay Harris like can really gash you because you can't pay as much attention to him.
What level, and then we got to get out of here, but what level does Trautman have to hit for the Saints offense in your mind to remain where it's been the last decade throwing the ball. Like me and Travis Kelce year two, that's a little like Jimmy yeah. Graham did it. So that's, it can happen. But like what level does he, what's the level that he has to reach for this offense to be the same old Saints the last 15 years that it's been?
Like, I think if he's Jared Cook year one, you know, so the Jared Cook towards the end of year one when he was kind of tearing it up for the Saints. But, you know, if he's a 60 catch, 8 touchdown tight end, that's significant. Now, if he's an 80 catch, 12 touchdown tight end, then I think this offense starts to get in the holy shit levels.
Oh, my God. Well, if they do that, like, it'll be hard to reach 2011 because 2011 is one of the great offenses of all time. They just aren't thought of that way because they didn't win a Lombardi. But it could get to 2000.
But Troutman is the big unknown to me because mm-hmm. we didn't really get a chance to watch but glimpses of him last year, and he was exciting. But like, he's the guy. Mm-hmm. He is the guy. And like, if Nick Vinette is the starter week one.
Oof.
You know, then it's like that's gonna be that's gonna be a bunch of cold water thrown on us. You know, we're gonna be taking the ice bath. But like, if Troutman is what we think he can be, like that unlocks the whole offense. It really does.
Yeah, and that's the final thought, and then we get out of here. Is this training camp? Look, it's the Saints. We aren't as secure as knowing that their roster is loaded. So. You know, we're always in the mode of just stay healthy for training camp, just be healthy. That's always number one. But I do think for the first time in a while, Andrew, we've got a bunch of cool stuff that we are going to be monitoring every goddamn day and watching these practices. And it isn't just, oh, good, nobody got hurt. Like, it's going to be what's happening at tight end, what's happening at corner, what's happening in – you know, at defensive end, what's happening at linebacker? Like, it's going to be all these questions that we haven't had in a while. And it's going to make for a great month of August as far as training camp and awareness and fun. And that's why you need to be a patron, because we're going to cover it every day with audio from Sean Payton and players. But thanks to everybody for joining us on the Spotify Wednesday show. We appreciate you guys. It's been great. Join us. If you're listening to this in your RSS feed or the free version on Art19, download the Green Room app from Spotify and join us every Wednesday. Andrew, we signed the contract with the Green Room. We are doing this all football season, every week through the end of the football season. So get the Spotify app already. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one?
Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.